All right, everybody, we're going to start with our boys leading in a devotional. So if you would, as always, join in.
Told you that I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may also be also.
I'm gonna do it a little bit different tonight. Is the bass ready? Verses 1 and 3. Just a little talk. I once am lost in sin, but Jesus took me in, and then all I from heaven filled my soul. It bathed my heart in love and wrote my name above, and just a little talk with Jesus made me whole. Have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about our troubles. Fear, faintest cry, answer by and by. Put a little prayer for yearning. Heart into heaven is turning. Find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Fears, my eyes be filled with having a talk with Jesus. Tell him all about our troubles. Hear our faintest cry. Answer by and by. Fill a little prayerful yearning. Heart into heaven is turning. Find a little talk with Jesus. Makes it right. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Let us tell him all about our troubles. He will hear our faintest cry. He will answer by and by. Put a little prayer for yearning as you harder to heaven is turning. You will find a little dog with Jesus makes it right.
Evan, I hope my sons are as confident as you when they get older. All right, buddy? Do it different. Good job. All right, we're going to enter into our worship. Go ahead, boys. You can move on to your families. Who has our announcements tonight? AJ, thanks, brother. Hey, thanks for what you do with Lads to Leaders. Good job today.
I want to welcome everyone here. We thank you for your presence, and we look forward to worshiping with you. If you are visiting with us, we want you to feel welcome, but we'd love for you to fill out a visitor's card. You can find those in the pews in front of you if you don't mind. We'd love to have a record of your attendance to know a little more about you. So if you can fill that out and leave it in the pew, we'll pick those up later. But also, we just want to make sure we meet you afterwards. So please stick around. Don't run off when we're dismissed. We have several that we want to remember in our prayers. Brother Derford Reichard is in NAMC in room 2401. So remember him. And also, as we announced this morning, we want to remember the Hinton family and their loss, Miss Christy and the loss of her infant son, baby Joseph. He passed away this morning. Just keep that whole family in your prayers, especially Christy, Sierra. And they're out of town, if you didn't know, and hopefully they'll be able to come home soon, and we just need to do all that we can to support them.
They should be home.
They should. Okay, so they're on their way home right now, maybe home already. Also, Mike Davidson's mother had hip replacement surgery yesterday after falling, and she'll be evaluated tomorrow for rehab. Want to remember her and her recovery as well. This is our week to deliver Meals on Wheels. We need someone still for Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. If you can help with this, there's a sign-up sheet in the foyer that we would love for you to help with that, and that's a good work, and we can get all those days covered. We're also having a baby girl diaper pounding for Rachel Stovall, and that's going to go through March 26th. Please bring your items and place them in the basket located across from the church mailboxes. Also, this Saturday, March 18th at 5:30 p.m., there is a Maywood benefit dinner. That's Camp Maywood, and that will be at Heritage Christian University. Tickets are $25 apiece. If you'd like to go and want to purchase tickets, please see Dax Holt. He can get tickets for you and get you all set up for that. And that's a good thing to support. Also, our prime timers and widows and widowers, you have a meeting tonight in the 49er classroom right after a closing prayer. So that's for all of our prime timers and widows and widowers. Also, I have a couple of things about Lads to Leaders. As you know, the convention is coming up in just a few weeks, and our young people are busy getting prepared for that. But next Sunday, we will have a kind of a super Sunday. We're going to be all day. We're going to have lunch together. If you're in Lads to Leaders, plan to stay for lunch. We're just bringing soups and sandwiches, kind of a potluck. And then we'll work on some events like banner, puppets. We'll also be going to Cedar View to lead their worship services there. But we encourage any of our members that are able to go to Cedar View and be with the people there that worship with us. And then also on Sunday at 4 o'clock, this is for all the ladies of the congregation. Our young women will be leading in worship, and I think they're going to do that this time in the family room, in the annex. But that's this coming Sunday at 4 o'clock. We'd love all of our ladies to be there to support our young girls that will be leading in worship for that. If you would like to get a Last of Leaders t-shirt, you don't have to be in Last of Leaders. You can be any, just a member. If you want a t-shirt, it's got the Florence Boulevard logo on the back. It's got our theme scripture for the year. The sign-up sheet is in the foyer. Those are $8 a piece, and we'll get that order in soon. We'll let you know when the deadline is. That's all the announcements that I have. Let's join in worship as Michael leads us in singing.
Good evening, everyone. I want to thank the guys who started our worship already, getting us started in our songs of praise. Evan, thanks for getting the basses warmed up for us. Hope the rest of us are ready to sing. Let's all stand and sing out with this first song.
Worthy of praise is our Redeemer, worthy of glory, honor, and power, worthy of all our soul's adoration, worthy of now, worthy of now, worthy of riches, blessings, and honor, worthy of wisdom, glory, and power, worthy of earth.
789. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, we are so grateful for you and your blessings upon us, Lord. As we just sang, we want to be closer to you. Lord, we thank you for giving us another day to worship you and sing praises to you, study from your holy word. And fellowship with one another. Lord, we have so many in this congregation who are distraught, who are sick, who've lost loved ones, their health is failing them, Lord, and we're just mindful of all those who've been mentioned. Lord, I pray that you'll be with the family of Paul Richardson, who passed away this past week, be with Drusilla and their daughter Brenda and the rest of their family, Lord, just comfort them at this time. Lord, I pray that you be with Hunter Robinson and his family and the loss of his family friend, Jimmy McCain, and just please be with that good family, dear Lord. Lord, I pray a very special blessing on Christy Hinton and her entire family at this time. Can't imagine what it's like to lose a child. And I pray, Lord, that you comfort them. And I pray that we love on them and bear this burden along with them as Scripture tells us to. We love them, Lord, and we just pray that this loss will we just pray, Lord, that you just be with them and we help them through this time, Lord. Pray for those who are in the hospital, Brother Dervert, and we pray that he will get to go to rehab and go home soon. Please be with the nurses and doctors tending to him. Pray for Mike Davidson's mother and her recent surgery on her hip, and pray that her rehabilitation will be successful and she'll be back to her normal activities soon, Lord. Please be with our children, Lord. The enemy is after them. Our children are being attacked from every direction by ideologies that you have not authorized. And we just pray, Lord, that we will be in the Word every single day, teaching our children what's right and what's wrong. We pray, Lord, that you strengthen our faith. We pray that we will not waver, that we will stand up for what's right
stand against what's wrong. Lord, we pray this country will get back on its feet, get back in the right direction. Give us a voice. Let us never waver from what we know is the truth. Lord, please bless the efforts in this congregation to seek and save the lost within these walls, especially with beyond these walls. Lord, we pray that you will continue to give us the means and the courage and the stamina to go out throughout the world preaching and teaching your word and seeking and saving the lost. Please continue to bless efforts in World Bible School, Room at the Inn. Please be with our youth group as they go to Las Leaders. Lord, there's so many activities that are going on. They're really good things, Lord, and we pray that you continue to bless us. Lord, just help us to always do your will, not our will, but your will. Please forgive us of our sins, dear Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
We've come to the part of our worship where those who did not partake of the Lord's Supper this morning will have a chance. And for those of us who were here and already had the chance, it's never a bad thing to focus on our Savior. So we also have the opportunity now to focus on him. And we will be singing number 337, Hallelujah, What a Savior.
Man of sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim.
If you did not partake in communion this morning and you need a communion packet, please raise your hand and someone will be with you. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, we see pretty much the closing of Jesus' ministry here. we see the plot to kill Jesus kind of coming to a close and coming to a, you know, a point to where it's known to many. It's known to Jesus, and he makes it known to his disciples. We see in verses 7 through 13, Jesus having his disciples go to prepare the Passover meal. Talked this morning kind of how the Passover was the feast for the Jewish people of celebrating their deliverance from slavery in Egypt. And we see here Jesus partook of that. He partook of that with his disciples who were to become his apostles. He partook of that in the upper room. And we see after that, starting in verse 14, when the hour had come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. Then he said to them, "With fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you." Here we see a transition. This transition is for us. We go from the Jewish feast of Passover to the Christian memorial dinner of the death of Jesus, celebrating his sacrifice for us, for the atonement of our sins. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we're thankful for Jesus and the example that he provided for us. We're thankful for his willingness to come as that sacrifice that once and for all removed all those other sacrifices, Father, that he sat down at your right hand and we are now forgiven of our sins. Father, as we partake of this bread, we're mindful of his body that was broken for us. Our sins put him on that cross, Father. Our sins caused the physical suffering of Jesus. We pray that we partake of this in a well-pleasing manner to you, Father. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Let's pray again. Father, we're thankful for this cup that to us is representative of your Son's blood that was shed on the cross for us, Father. That he shed his blood in a sacrifice for us, that through this we have forgiveness of our sins, Father. That through our baptism into his death, Father, we can become a new person, a Christian again, that we can, you know, be forgiven of those sins, that we have that hope of eternal life with you, Father. We hope that our minds go back to the cross, that we remember that. We remember the shedding of his blood. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Separate and apart from the Lord's Supper, we take a offering on Sundays. And if you did not have the chance to give an offering this morning, we have boxes out in the foyer for you to place that. We have many good works here. We have many outreaches, many ministries that go on here. We're very fortunate in this country. We're very fortunate to be able to spread the word of God without fear of outside authorities. Let's go to God in prayer again. Father, we're thankful for all that you do for us. You give us everything that we need, Father. You provide for us. We're thankful for all those physical needs that you meet for us, Father, all the physical things that you've given us. We pray that as we give back, we give with a cheerful heart, Father, that it is taken and it is used to spread the borders of your kingdom, Father, not only in this country, but in other countries, Father, that we can help those in need here and abroad, Father. All the many disasters, all the many needs, Father, that can be met by your people. We're thankful for your Son, Jesus, and the sacrifice that he gave us. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.
Before the sermon this evening, We'll be singing number 470. I'd ask that you would please stand and remain standing for our reading from God's Word.
I heard an old, old story, how the Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his glory, the precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me
this evening will be from Deuteronomy 27, verses 1 through 3. 27, 1 to 3. Now Moses and the elders of Israel commanded the people, saying, keep the whole commandment that I command you today. And on the day you cross over the Jordan to the land that the Lord your God is giving you, you shall set up large stones and plaster them with plaster. And you write on them all the words of the law when you cross over to enter the land that the Lord your God is giving you. A land flowing with milk and honey, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you. Please be seated.
It's good to see everybody tonight.
We are without a large portion of our church family because our youth group is worshiping at the Chisholm Hills Church of Christ. They're having a fellowship with the Hispanic ministry that is an incredible ministry. They are baptizing folks and saving souls at a pace that wish, honestly, I wish we were. And grateful that our young people get to be a part of that. They'll be there this evening. So I want to let you know that's where they are. Also, Miss Pat, grateful you're a part of the family. There's a song that goes, I love you with the love of the Lord. I was a part of a church one time, not a part of, I was visiting. And when someone placed membership, they had the person stand, which is semi-embarrassing for some. So I'm not going to make you do that again. You had to do that this morning. But they would sing, we love you with the love of the Lord. We see in you the glory of our King, and we love you with the love of the Lord. And I thought that was very nice. And you'll see that in Miss Pat, and you'll hear it from her first. She has a beautiful voice, too. So grateful for you, Miss Pat. I think that's what I wanted to get out before I start preaching. Brother Jerry, you know how that goes. You have a mental list. All right. We're in the Word. I think a sign of spiritual maturity is the ability to transition quickly to things that are serious. So here we go. I want you to know Deuteronomy chapter 27 very well tonight. And so I hope you have your Bible open to that place. It has blessed me to be in preparation for this night all week. Deuteronomy chapter 27. I want to tell you about the setting, then the scene, the sins, and the solution. The setting is what is going on surrounding the text of Deuteronomy 27 and 28. The scene is what it will look like when it is put in place. The sins are mentioned specifically in the scriptures, and the solution will be at the end. So here we go to the setting. Moses gives four speeches in the book of Deuteronomy. Some people have said, one person specifically said, it's a looking back, the survey of what the nation was, where they were. It's a looking up of God's laws, chapter 5 to chapter 26. That's the chunk of Deuteronomy. And it's a looking forward to the renewal of the covenant that's going to happen eventually in Joshua chapter 8. And it's a looking away. It's a farewell message as Moses ends his era leading the people of Israel from Deuteronomy 31 to 34. So Deuteronomy 27 fits right there in number 3. This is the renewal of the covenant. One person outlined Deuteronomy like this. It's what God has done, what God expects Israel to do, and what God will do in response. In response to Israel's decision and the resultant actions. And Deuteronomy 27 fits right into that space of what God will do. Now, what is God doing? This is the setting. Let's get to the scene. God is describing what will happen in Joshua chapter 8. If you notice in the text of Scripture when you're reading, and by the way, we are in the Word anticipating Jesus together. Our whole goal is to be in the Word together, read through all of Scripture together to see God more clearly and anticipate the coming of Jesus. God is describing what's going to happen, what will happen eventually in Joshua chapter 8. And so in my Bible, I wrote in the notes on the side, this scene comes into play in Joshua chapter 8. As Will just read, this is, according to Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 2, what the people ought to do when they cross over the Jordan to the land that the Lord their God was going to give to them. And so what you need to know is Israel is encamped on the west side of the Jordan River, and they're about to go eastward over the Jordan into the promised land at some point. Is that not right? Well, we'll talk about it later. In Joshua chapter 8, when this takes place, it's going to happen. This scene, however, is where they are camped out waiting for it to take place. That eventually will take place. What you're going to see is two mountain peaks. And I tried to find, this is modern day Shechem. Shechem is on the east side of the Jordan River. At the point where this takes place in Joshua chapter 8, they will have crossed over the Jordan River and they will have passed through this lowland trail. And that's not an official pathway. I made that on PowerPoint. The arrow doesn't look very clean, but that's what it is. Mount Ebal is on the north. Mount Gerizim is on the south. And so what you need to see is, this is what it's looking like. Shechem is right there in the middle. Ebal at the north, Gerizim at the south. What I like to imagine in my mind is, Israel is in this valley between these two mountains. And what's going to take place is, God is going to have, through Moses, as he's speaking here in Deuteronomy 27, he will have half of the tribes of Israel, their leaders, to stand up on Mount Gerizim and send a blessing over the people, to give the blessings. That's Deuteronomy 28. And then the other half will be on the northern mountains, Mount Ebal. And at that place, people will, well, they won't curse. But they say this will be the cursings that God will give. Cursed be the people who, and then the sins are listed. Now, it's a fascinating list of people who are on Ebal and Mount Gerizim. Look in Deuteronomy chapter 27 and verse 9. Moses and the Levitical priests said to all Israel, keep silence and hear, O Israel. This day you have become the people of the Lord. You shall therefore obey the voice of the Lord your God, keeping his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today. And so that day, Moses charged the people saying this, when you have crossed over the Jordan, these men shall stand on Mount Gerizim to bless the people. Now, that happens in Joshua chapter 8, verses 30 to 35. These are the people who will stand on Mount Gerizim, the southern mountains. They are Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Joseph, and Benjamin. And if you know the sons of Jacob, the 12 tribes of Israel, so to speak, this is similar to who they are. I wanted to preach a sermon right here in this place, I'll be honest. But I couldn't make it make sense. Why were those people selected to stand on those mountains? Some to give a blessing, some to give the cursings of God. I'm still pursuing this to figure out why these were the people chosen. Yes, they were the heads of the tribes of Israel. Yes, I know that the men on Mount Gerizim, they were Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Joseph, and Benjamin. These were Rachel's two sons and Leah's four sons. I recognize that on Mount Ebal, the northern mountains, the ones that will curse, that these were the four sons of the handmaidens, Bilhah and Zilpah. But then two sons of Leah, the firstborn of Leah, which was Reuben, who should have been the heir of Jacob, but when he slept with his father's handmaiden, he was disgraced. So I thought maybe there was something to that, that in the disgrace of sleeping with his father's handmaiden, which, by the way, is a cursing that Moses gives in the cursing of Deuteronomy chapter 27, he lost his place as the heir of his father's heritage and inheritance, and so he was placed on the mountain of cursing. And so everybody else made sense. Reuben was the disgraced first son. The other four sons were the sons of the handmaidens, which was never God's plan or intention, but he blessed them anyway, which I loved. And then Zebulun. Now, Zebulun just seemed like a good child of God. So I can't preach that sermon. So I'm going to pull it out and throw it away. Maybe you can help me figure something out about that. So here's the scene. Eventually in Joshua 8, what Moses is saying prophetically here in Deuteronomy 27, the people will be in the valley, almost right there in the middle, and you will have a group of people, Levites, will shout out the cursings on Mount Ebal, and on the southern mountain you have the other men who are going to give the blessings of Deuteronomy 28. And nestled between these two mountain ranges, for the ability to have the voice carry, to send the word of God down upon the people. This is the setting that was to take place. But before they were to get there, they had to do something first. Now, this was the altar stone that was built. I couldn't find an exact picture of what an altar of stones with plaster would have looked like. This is a website I reference often with maps and geographies and images, Bible.ca. They are fantastic, and I love accessing what they have. This is a stone altar that they call an exact replica of the 2-meter diameter circular altar that was dated at this place, at that excavation on Mount Ebal by the project team in 2019. Now, what those stones don't have is the plaster that was to be on them.
Because the scriptures say in Deuteronomy chapter 27, look at this here in verse 4. When you've crossed over the Jordan, you shall set up these stones, which concerning I command you today on Mount Ebal. You shall plaster them with plaster. And I thought, why is God saying, put plaster onto these stones? Is there something symbolic? Is there imagery God wanted us to see here? Was there something deep below the words? No. He wanted to make it clear. Because on the stone will be written the word of God. You see, when God gave Moses the stones, his finger etched the commandments. But on this and in this situation, Moses was going to write the words. And so for the word to be clear, plaster was placed on the stone. Because God wants no excuses. My word will be clear, clearly seen, clearly heard. And when it was spoken aloud, as you've read in Deuteronomy 27 and 28, what did the congregation of Israel have to say in response? They said, oh, come on, church. Amen. They said, amen. Why? Because the scene that he was prophesying about here in 27 that would take place in 28 is almost a betrothal of sorts. It's a ceremony of commitment that this is who God is and this is who he wants his people to be, and the people are standing right in between these two mountains of cursing and blessing, of faithfulness and faithful judgment of God. And if you agree to this today, you say, amen. Oh, Father, I see you're drawing a line in the sand, and I want to be standing on your side, holding your hand. This is God drawing his line and him giving his people an opportunity to say, we're on your side. So the scene is set here. The setting, the scene. Now let's get to the sins. The cursings of Deuteronomy chapter 27, the sins that are mentioned specifically, if you've read them, have you noticed that they're private sins? Private sins. Why private sins? Well, public sins are easy to see. They're clear and obvious to be made known. And when we sin publicly, we feel bad about it. But when we sin privately, we might feel bad. But boy, aren't we tempted to keep it a secret and act as if it doesn't happen? Part of the reason I believe that the list of private sins were given in Deuteronomy chapter 27 is so that Israel might know God sees your sins in secret. And your private time isn't private. And he wants you to be his people, whether you are in public or in private, whether people are watching you or they aren't. The true test of your character is who you are in secret, silent, private times. But let me tell you this, church, you have none. Because God sees. And he will deal perfectly and divinely with our private sins. I've heard a lot of denominational and I've heard a lot of charismatic preaching. And they would preach and they'd say things like, there might be somebody in the audience today who... And I'm not going to get up here and do that. But can I just say for a moment, there might be somebody in the audience today who... And if there is somebody in the audience today who is getting along quite nicely publicly because people don't realize the private sins you are committing, you are habitually dealing with, and you are struggling immensely with, but you're trying to cover over and act like they aren't, absolutely eroding your life. You will either confront that sin now, or God will confront you with that sin then. And I'm telling you, you want to confront it today. For we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And it's there each one will receive a just reward, a due reward for what we've done in the body, whether good or bad. Look at the sins. Verse 15. Each one of these sins almost corresponding to a part of the Ten Commandments. I found that to be very interesting. Number one in verse 15, Don't make any metal image. Don't make idol gods. Well, that is the first and the second of the Ten Commandments. I put a note of Exodus 20, verses 1 to 6. All the people had to say, when God said, "Cursed be the man who makes an idol," they said, "Amen." Verse 2. Oh, and by the way, how is that secret? I might publicly go to tabernacle. I might publicly praise and sing and talk about the Lord. But what do I do in the privacy of my tent? I might have that little carved image sitting right there for no one else to see but me. Where are our private sins? Hidden for no one else to see. God said, "I see." Number 2, verse 16. Cursed be anyone who dishonors father or mother. And all the people had to say, "Amen." Honor your father and mother in the land, and honor your father and mother that it might go well with you in the land, the Bible says. Where do people oftentimes disobey father and mother? It's not, "Child, you do this," and they did that. It's more like this. "Hey, would you?" And they go, "Ugh. Who do you think you are?" Ugh. It's almost like that huffy, puffy disrespect of challenging the authority of the parent. That didn't happen. I bet it happened more often in private than it did in public. You have children and grandchildren who are dealing with those things right here, right now. I need you to know that's happened throughout all time. God knew it back then, and He knows it today. Verse 17. Cursed be anyone who moves his neighbor's landmark, because you want to get more land. I remember when the house next to us was for sale, and I thought about ripping down the fence and building another one. You know what the temptation was, Brian? I'm going to move that fence over about 6 to 8 inches. They'll never know. Because it would have been private. Nobody lived there. Sinful. Each one of these sins, and I could make my way down the list. And you read them if you would. And by the way, verse 18, how God is He champions the helpless. He champions the disabled. I'm so grateful. Do not mislead the blind. It's spoken about in Exodus 22, 21 to 24, Deuteronomy 24, 17 to 18. And then again in the New Testament, Luke 18, 1 to 8, God champions those helpless folks. And it's another law. And by the way, isn't it the case that people sometimes will take advantage of others when no one's looking? People, these are private sins. And this was a tense moment, not just in Israelite history, but hearing these words. They were nestled down in the valley hearing, "Cursed be the man who." And I have to suspect that there were people in that congregation dealing with that sin in that very moment. Well, the tensity of that situation ought to be the exact same for us today. Look at the very end of the cursings in Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 26. Look at this last one. Look at it, verse 26. What specific sin is mentioned here? Cursed be anyone who does not confirm the words of this law by what? Doing them. Raise your hand if you've carried out the law of God perfectly. Nobody now. Nobody back then. To me, verse 26 is the catch-all. I listed specific ones, but here is a catch-all. If you don't carry out every word of this law, of which in the old law, from Genesis 1, 28, about to Deuteronomy 32, verse 28, there were about 613 laws, people think. So if you don't carry out all 613 laws plus the ones I've just mentioned, this cursing, then cursed be you. Now, why would this type of a catch-all be listed? It is because, and I've struggled with this one for years, the purpose of the law was not salvation. It was actually condemnation. It was for the indictment of all people as sinners. And all people needed to look forward to and trust in Christ who was to come. Paul referenced this in Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. When we see the holiness and the purity of God in His law, which He puts His nature and His character on the imprint of His law, when we see the holiness of God, we also see the unholiness of His people. He wouldn't have to make a law if it wasn't for us. One person said this, there can be no true conversion without conviction. And conviction comes when we see the holiness of God in the law and the sinfulness of our own human hearts. To say that we've kept some of his laws does not excuse us for when we break one. We're guilty of them all. James chapter 2 verse 10 says, for whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles in one point, he has become guilty of all. The solution? Well, they didn't have it in the old covenant. But church, we have it today. Now, say amen to that. The solution is Jesus Christ. And I wanted to speak more in detail. As Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12 verse 50, whoever does the will of the Father is my brother and my sister. That is the person who is a part of Jesus' family. The one who does the will of the Father. Jesus came to earth not to do his own will, but to do that of the Father's. He said, I came and I spoke as the Father spoke to me. And then the Spirit is going to come and he will do the exact same thing. I don't have time to tell you everything he's given me. And so the Helper must come and he will guide you into all truth. The people who are attempting to carry out the will of the Father, they are Jesus' family. Now, how do you know the will of God? Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says this, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You can't know the will of the Father until you study the Word of the Father. Have you heard it? Have you heard it? And now, having heard it, you believe not just what it says, but you believe who it is. And who is it? That Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And with that belief, you realize next that I am guilty. I am a sinner. And just like Israel before me, I need to repent of my sins. Now, they did it on the Day of Atonement and their daily offerings at the tabernacle. But they just had the blood of bulls and goats. We have the perfect blood of Jesus Christ. And so the repentance of my sins looks different than the repentance of their sins. This is in the Word, anticipating Jesus together, church. We're doing the will of God by hearing his Word, being read and being studied. We're believing in Jesus as the Son of God, and as we look to Jesus and his perfection, we see very clearly our own imperfection. And so what do we do? Listen, believing, I must confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. There's coming a conversation in just about 5 or 6 days that I don't look forward to, that I'm going to have with somebody I love, but I have to have it. They need to be confronted with this truth, this fact that they are denying. And I think to the detriment of their soul. He's my Lord. And I must confess him when I'm comfortable with it and when I am, especially when I am uncomfortable with it. Have you made that confession publicly? And then, as the people said in Acts chapter 2, they heard an Old Testament sermon, so to speak. The plan of God carrying out Jesus from all time. And they said, you crucify this man, the Son of God. And they were cut to the heart. And they came to Peter and they said, we didn't know we did that, but we now realize we are guilty and we believe that he was the Son of God. So what do we do? And Peter said those famous words in Acts 2 verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And it's there you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You see, all the Bible is now pointing backwards, but then pointing forwards to Jesus Christ. All things culminate in him. So my question is, have you been baptized for the forgiveness of your sins? Here's what I wanted you to leave with. If you've heard the word and you've believed it to be true in Jesus the Son, and you realize you are guilty as a sinner and you're willing to repent of sin, confessing Jesus publicly as your Lord, you need to come and be obedient to the Father so that he can save you in the water of baptism where we are washed, cleansed of our sins. That is the solution to the problem of sin. And the scene is right here, right now in your life. What will your answer be? And if we can help you with it, please come forward now and let God save your soul. Let's stand and sing. Have about 16 tables, was that the number, that need to be moved right after worship. It's going to be pulled out under the awning over there by our fellowship hall. If we could get several of our men to go do that right after worship, that'd be great. We can get it done in no time. Thank you.
I want to thank everyone for being here tonight, and I want to remind everyone that we'll be back at 6:30 on Wednesday for our weekly Bible study, and we hope we'll see you there. We'll sing We Shall Assemble, and then we'll be closed in prayer.
We shall assemble on the mountain. We shall assemble.
Lessons of life. We're thankful for the opportunity we've had together here. Father, we pray that you'll be with the Hinton family and their loss, and be with all those that are suffering illnesses at this time. Father, pray that you'll be with us. Help us to show them the love of the Lord as they battle the trials that they're facing, Father. Father, pray that you'll be with us in our upcoming week. Help us to be a light for you, Father. Help us to live a better life tomorrow than we did today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.